The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 20th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain. She's in Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, a subcommittee on agriculture has sent a message: do not mess with the commodity title of the 2002 Farm Bill. And USDA has blasted back, saying the current bill provides the least help when farmers need it most. Oh, and elsewhere in Washington, a top Republican says the 54-cent-a-gallon ethanol tariff should be repealed. Dave Dickey will have more on these stories later in the half hour. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He'll help us take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report. Taking a look now at the numbers as they finished in Chicago at the Board of Trade on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit up 17 and a quarter cents from Kansas City at 586 and a half. For the July contract, July in Chicago at 605 settled 24 cents higher. September futures at 616 were up 19 for the day. And December contract at 623 and a half up 22. July corn futures down a penny and three quarters at 394 and a quarter. The rest of the trade higher. September futures 404 and a quarter up one quarter. And the December contract new crop at 406 and a quarter up two and three quarters for the day. July soybean futures $8.39 a dime higher. August up 10 and a quarter at 847 and three quarters. And November soybeans up 10 and a half cents at $8.74 and a half. July bean meal futures at $233.20, up $3.50. July bean oil futures up 0.01 at 35.31. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange on this Wednesday afternoon finished at 108.10. They were down 35 cents. June live cattle down $1.35 at $88.75. And the August at $90.50 from the live cattle pit were down 80 cents. Lean hogs July futures down 45 at $74.72 and a half. From the outside markets, nearby July crude oil, $68.55. They were down 55 cents for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,588, and it's just about 47 cents lower for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade in the Mercantile Exchange, as he does each and every Wednesday afternoon, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tough day in Chicago yesterday. Limit lower for the corn. They managed to hold their gains for the day. But over in the wheat and the bean pits, they put on some real steam and gained back a lot of the losses from yesterday. Tell me about it.
Well, let's go to wheat first. And we understand there was some concerns about a wet weather in Texas and Oklahoma, and of course, Egypt is basically allocating more funds for commodities, and wheat was mentioned in Iraq. There was also funds in need of wheat, and internal prices seem to be quite high. And as a result of that, with wheat harvest, going in central Illinois and wheat samples coming across the elevator scales, you know, we're seeing some wheat harvest. I think the big thing is that it's the wetness, demand, and the general feeling that the USDA possibly will cut production on the next USDA report, and that was the main factor in the wheat market.
From that USDA report, cut production, but you think they'll raise the number of acres at the same time?
Well, on wheat, I don't think so. My hunch is, if anything, the wheat acreage, I think, will be a little smaller. I don't think they factored that in yet, but I think the wheat acreage will be a little smaller in the wheat areas here in the Midwest and the West.
That could make the wheat acreage and the production total much lower than expected. What are you thinking that total yield might be?
Well, I think we have to. We hear the whisper of 50 million at least, and you know that is sizable. It's a carryover that's small. The soft wheat yields are probably a little better than expected here in central Illinois, but the verdict is still out as we move the harvest further in the state. So, you know, there's pockets of good yield, and there's pockets of just very average yields.
But on the soft red, as you take a look at that supply, is pretty good for the soft red in the Midwest. I've heard whispers also that they're already full in elevators that export wheat, and there's not really a lot of place to go for this. How's the basis holding up, and what do you think people
are doing? Well, the basis is wide, but, Todd, I think if you really want to store wheat, you know, there's tons of storage available at this time of year. You know, I'm sure there's going to be large deliveries made in the July contract if the wheat's available. You know, as far as you know, I'm sure there's a bin somewhere somebody can find a home for something.
Tell me about the beans for the day.
The bean market, there was 4,000 lots of commodity funds were buyers of. There is this worry about the dryness here in the 2007 crop, and also worry about getting enough acres for 2008. One large commodity service out of Iowa, you know, painted a picture that not only is a concern in the soybeans, it's a concern in the wheat and the corn. The demand in the world should be good, and not only do we need acreage in beans, but all, you know, the other two major crops of corn and soybeans and wheat.
Are you satisfied that today's move was more than just a technical correction after yesterday, or is that what you think it might be?
You know, I have to say that I'm surprised the beans were actually as strong as it turned out to be. With the outside news and with the general feeling that the rainfall event this weekend is still going to be good. The private meteorologist I have the most confidence in says that, you know, there's other events down the road as well. There was one popular meteorologist that dried one model out, got the market excited, and we made highs in the corn, wheat, and soybeans as a result of his adjustment in one of the models. But as a general feeling, the markets did tail off from those highs made during the early part of the day on the general feeling that the weather models would still bring in a half to an inch of rain in the Midwest here.
For the most part, the corn contracts finished higher, but not until after they had settled into some losses for the session, and that would be the overnight and the day trade session both.
Commercials were in there being light buyers of corn, and the commodity funds were also light buyers. During the early, just right after I gave the commodity update in the morning report there with Dave, the market started to gain, you know, quite a bit of strength. We are getting phone calls about permanent yield loss and things like that. And there will be a debate just about that and, of course, the acreage. But we do know that the value-added markets, the farmer is moving, you know, corn to those markets, particularly the ethanol plants. The other factor that I think that we have to talk about is that it does seem like that the farmer is moving corn and cleaning up his bins, you know, particularly whenever he can get the $4 mark.
You think that's a good idea?
Yep, I do. I think there's a certain time when you move corn at $4 and you move beans at $8. I have to say I'll tip my glass and say you did a wonderful job, Mr. Farmer.
All right. That's on the old crop. What are we doing on the new crop?
Well, I think there's probably a lot sold in the corn complex. And the beans, my hunch is that I'm still of the opinion that we are going to see a reduced acreage in soybeans, and it's hard for me to move beans, the new crop here. And to answer your question on the corn, I think we have to follow the technical 40-day moving average in new crop corn. When and if it turns down, at the present time we have to say the trend is up. And we'll quickly know by Sunday night, Monday, just how much rainfall and how generous the weather forecast was. And I think this will be a, you know, a monumental weekend, almost like the famous 4th of July rainfall event, if and when it does occur this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Then take a quick look for me if there's anything from the outside markets or from the Mercantile Exchange and livestock.
Well, let's go to the financial markets here. And, of
sure.
course, we are seeing bonds up quite a bit today. And, of course, the oil market showed larger crude oil inventories in the marketplace. The U.S. stock market seems to be still very, very strong, and of course that's a good sign of good international strength, not only in the United States but the world.
Paul, we appreciate you being with
us
for today.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with meteorologist Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Our own AM 580's Mike Sola says this afternoon across the two-state region we'll have a few high clouds, but it'll be generally sunny. Highs today will range from around 80 in northern Indiana to near 90 in southwestern Illinois. Tonight, Mike says, in northwestern Illinois, it'll become mostly cloudy. A few thunderstorms possible overnight. Elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows will range from 56 in eastern Indiana to 65 in western Illinois. And tomorrow, in the northern sections and central sections of Illinois, partly sunny. A chance for some scattered thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. High between 85 and 90. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. This is WILL Urbana, your director of agricultural programming here at the radio stations. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the day's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the House Agriculture Subcommittee on General Commodities and Risk Management sent a message to House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson, who is seeking to change some target prices and loan rates in the new farm bill. Yesterday, by an 18-0 vote, the subcommittee called for a straight-line extension of the commodity title of the 2002 Farm Bill, rejecting all of Peterson's tweaks. Kansas Congressman Jerry Morin.
Because of the budget circumstance that we find ourselves in, extension of the current Farm Bill is the best outcome for the farmers and ranchers and consumers.
In the same session, the panel rejected tougher payment limits on farm program payments, as well as a proposal from Citicorp for a direct payment buyout. The markup would also keep the three-entity rule and the $2.5 million adjusted gross income cap for eligibility. Georgia lawmaker Jim Marshall.
We're going to start with a bill that clearly has worked for rural America and for farmers, and we're going to take that bill and improve the bill.
USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says he's disappointed with the markup. He says the panel failed to recognize the need for greater equity and predictability in farm policy. And Deputy USDA Director Chuck Connor chastised lawmakers for keeping the 2002 Farm Bill as a starting point.
Understand that with this vote and with extending current law, you're saying to provide the least when the farmer has, you know, virtual total wipeout. That is simply a fact of current law. It provides the least help when the farmer needs it the most.
And some industry groups are also reacting negatively. The National Corn Growers Association says the current commodity title does not provide enough safety net protection. NCGA First Vice President Jerry Litterer.
Dynamics in agriculture are really changing, and part of it is energy and what's going on in the countryside. And producers have a lot more dollars at risk because of the current prices. And this isn't just true for corn. It's true for most commodities. So we think the risk in the production side, that we need some more additional coverage, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to improve the level of income protection that we have in the marketplace, and we think the time is right to do it.
But some other farm organizations are taking a wait-and-see attitude to what comes out of the full House Agriculture Committee. AFBF spokesperson Mary Kay Thatcher.
They put off the tough decisions for full committee action, which is what has been happening with all the subcommittees, somewhat because of budget issues. But I think that there was a real concern that was voiced here today about cutting direct payments. I'm sure we're going to have a discussion on payment limits. I'm sure we'll have a discussion on reduction of direct payments. I would suspect we'll have a discussion still about rebalancing loans and targets.
The commodity title markup now goes to the full House Agriculture Committee for debate and amendment. The top Republican on the Senate Budget Committee wants to repeal the current 54-cent a gallon tariff on imported ethanol. New Hampshire Republican Judd Gregg says the tariff is an arbitrary tax on the people of the Northeast. Gregg says removing the tariff will lead to ethanol that is priced more competitively. And the Chicago Tribune reported yesterday that more than a third of the U.S. is in the grip of a drought that has devastated agriculture and prompted water conservation. The paper says the latest system is centered over Alabama and extends to much of the Southeast. Officials say producers throughout the South are suffering losses in cotton, peanut, and corn crops. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find most of our daily ag programming. You can listen to it as an MP3 file or sign up for it as a podcast delivered directly to your computer each and every business day of the year. It's at willag.org. While you're there, make sure you sign up for that free newsletter. Just hit subscribe. Up next, the Japanese beetle population has exploded in southern Illinois. As you'll hear, it may be a sign of things to come yet this summer for the rest of the state and the Midwest.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
The extension entomologists at the University of Illinois have been amazed by the explosion of Japanese beetle emerging from the ground in southern Illinois. They had thought the weather this past winter was cold enough to hold off that barrage. They were wrong, says University of Illinois extension entomologist Kevin Steffi.
The numbers of Japanese beetles they're capturing in traps in southern Illinois are basically off the charts. There is a trap in deep southern Illinois, Massac County, that captured over 300,000 beetles in 1 week, just this past week, which is twice as many as the largest catch in 2006. So the numbers are just, they're ridiculous is the word that I've been using.
Ridiculous does not bode well for the rest of the state. Farmers and homeowners alike will need to be wary of the emerald green-colored beetle.
The Japanese beetle, first, is an insect that's going to feed on flowering plants. So when corn starts pollinating, it's attracted to corn. And once a few beetles get there, then the rest of them show up. And they will clip the silks and create some issues with pollination or potentially create a problem.
Well, the bad news for the corn farmers of the Midwest is that that same problem potentially exists for another insect pest, the western corn rootworm.
Like the Japanese beetles, they will interfere with pollination by clipping the silks. Now, they don't feed on nearly as many hosts. They're pretty much restricted to feeding on corn. But they are a major concern during pollination of corn.
The U of I entomologists say corn farmers should be scouting their fields now for both insects. They can check the Illinois IPM website for the economic damage thresholds. Those will give producers an idea when rescue treatments are needed in the field. The address is www.ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This is Les Schulte, Director of Corporate Support. WILL has made a significant commitment to providing area farmers and agribusiness professionals with the best information possible. But we need your support to help continue and grow this service. If you own or manage a business, consider supporting WILL through one of our business programs. Call 217-333-0850 for more information.
On this Wednesday afternoon, time now to take a look at our cash grain market. Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Cash grain and the basis levels have done what in this topsy-turvy week?
Well, you know, beans are still continuing to weaken up just a little bit, even the new crop values. But corn, believe it or not, it's hanging in there. And even the rail basis for the fall numbers seem to be getting just a tad bit better as this crop seems to deteriorate. So the nearby corn basis is just about stable and beans getting a little weaker.
This is probably good news, given that the crop size may not have been really decimated. Certainly not decimated yet, but it might be getting smaller. What are you hearing from farmers about crops in your area?
We enjoyed some rain in some places. Others did not get it at all. South and southeast of Terre Haute and northeast of Terre Haute got rain anywhere from 3/10 to 1.5 inches, but west over into Illinois and northwest and southwest hardly got any at all. So, you know, we've got some areas that are hurting really, really badly. The sand corn is rolling real badly. We're supposed to be back up in the low to mid-90s next week, and a 30 to 40% chance of rain this weekend, and the ones that get it will be okay, and the ones that don't won't be okay.
Yeah, have you been successful at convincing producers that $4 or thereabouts for cash corn on the spot bids is a good place to finish up the old crop sales?
Well, you know, they want $4. And, you know, when we backed the market off yesterday, selling just totally dried up. I had bought more beans this past week than I had corn. So they were willing to wait on higher prices. And anytime you look out your back door, that's what you do. But the bean price seems a little bit more enticing right now than corn. I had a lot of interest in 08 crop when we were $8 flat on beans and $4 on corn. But like I say, since the board backed off, they're just not selling anything at this point, Todd.
And what's your crystal ball telling you?
I still say I don't think we've seen the highs in corn yet. I think we've got to give it another shot here. And I think we're going to see a lot more deterioration when the crop conditions report comes out Monday. And I think it'll be reflected in higher prices. So I haven't given up yet.
So you think that the price may climb yet? Anything that you're suggesting to producers to protect themselves other than the things they probably have already done with their risk management and the crop insurance?
I just think that they need to watch this market real closely. They need to, if they haven't contracted enough, contract some more, look into next year, and I guess you could always buy calls or puts, whatever the case may be, whichever way you think the market's going to go.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn, $3.94. Cash beans are $8.03, and cash wheat is $5.35.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. She joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. By the way, as of today, we still must raise some $299,700 to reach our fundraising goal. That means our gas gauge reads 86% full. Help power the engine so WILL can bring you a full year of programs and services. Just go to willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org and make an online contribution today. Or you can call 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455. With a contribution today, make sure you tell them you're pledging in support of the ag programming right here on WILL. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Top Illinois Senate Democrats say there needs to be a deal on electric rate relief by early next week, or they'll pass a rate freeze. Senator Ira Silverstein says Senate President Emil Jones will let him push a rate freeze vote next week if negotiations don't produce a deal. The House has already approved the one-year rate freeze, so Senate approval would send it to Governor Blagojevich, who has promised to sign it into law.
Lawmakers said last week that negotiations have produced substantial progress, and they hope for a resolution this week, but snags over the details of about $1 billion in rate relief for consumers and long-term electricity purchasing decisions have curbed their optimism. Champaign County's coroner says a preliminary autopsy does not change his original report that a county jail inmate died of complications from a diabetic emergency. Coroner Dwayne Northrup says toxicology tests are still out on 33-year-old Janet Hahn. She was found unresponsive in her cell Monday morning. The sheriff's department says Hahn died 11 hours later of cardiac arrest. State police are investigating the death. The development firm for the University of Illinois Research Park may soon help displaced workers from its largest tenant find work elsewhere in the area. Peter Fox says Fox Atkins Development will work with Motorola's Human Resources Department in helping nearly 180 workers who will lose their jobs when Motorola closes its Champaign Design Center in 2 months. Fox says as his firm seeks new tenants for the park, it can help connect employees to similar jobs with other companies. Illinois' primary will move from March to February. The law signed by Governor Blagojevich today will mean more than a dozen states will form a crucial primary day for presidential candidates in 2008. Proponents say the earlier primary will give Illinois more of a voice in picking nominees, but some say it will also make campaigning more expensive and make an already lengthy presidential campaign even longer. And United Airlines is asking passengers to remain patient as it works to resume operations after a computer malfunction kept that carrier's planes from taking off for about 2 hours. Chicago's O'Hare Airport is one of the places where United has much of its operations and is most affected. Delays of about 1 or 2 hours are still taking place this afternoon. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's start out by talking about precipitation across the Midwest in that last rainfall and amounts that were available to producers in Illinois, how they fared to begin with.
Well, it looks like most of the rain was quite variable across central and interior southern sections of the state, and I think that's where the biggest focus of concern is. There was a lot of counties there that really didn't get a lot of meaningful precipitation, a lot of amounts under a quarter of an inch, and many more that were less than a half inch, and with the kind of warmth that we had around, it wasn't all that great. Of course, we did fairly well from Decatur southward and near the Indiana and Kentucky border. We also did pretty well. We did real well in northwestern and some interior central sections, or I guess I should say interior north central sections of the state. Anyway, I think that the rain was beneficial in many respects, but there was still a fair amount of southern Illinois that still needs to see a significant rain event. The one that's coming up here over the next couple of days, actually tomorrow into Saturday morning, will likely bring an additional amount of rain to the region, but I'm afraid that the rain amounts are still going to be below average across a fair amount of that driest area in Illinois. It will rain probably in a fair amount of that region, but I don't think that the rain amounts themselves are going to be enough to carry on crop development for any great length of time, especially with the very warm temperatures that are expected to evolve again towards the early part of next week. Our temperatures will get back solidly in the 90s, and that'll evaporate away this half-inch rainfall that we're expecting fairly quickly. Crop stress is probably going to return in some of those counties that haven't done very well. If there's any relief, it's going to be very, very temporary, and then we'll be back into the stressed environment. But other areas in Illinois and neighboring areas of Indiana have seen some relief. I know it's been pretty sporadic in parts of Indiana as well. There are a number of counties there that are also in need of a general soaking still, and that is also not in the works right now. I do think that we'll see scattered showers in most of these areas, just like in Illinois. But the amount of rain is going to be a little disappointing, I think, when it's all said and done.
Iowa was awfully wet to begin with. Have they dried out, and will there be any concerns there?
Portions of Iowa, had some halfway decent rainfall here earlier this week, and it looks like the eastern part of the state is facing another round of significant rainfall. So those areas are certainly not going to dry out anytime real soon. Some of the western counties that had a lot of rain previously are firming up in a favorable manner. The situation there is going to be pretty much ideal, I think, as we go through the next 10 days. There will be some additional rain that falls in that region. It will not be excessively great, though, and with all the heat that comes on for early next week, the mix of the rain and the heat will be pretty darn good for the majority of those crops in the western and probably some northern sections of Iowa, and neighboring states for that matter to the west and north. But the eastern part of Iowa may get a little bit too wet for a little while. I think we'll come out of it fairly quickly because we do have all that heat coming up for next week. The evaporation rates will be fairly high, so maybe some short-term local flooding, and then we'll turn around and start improving the area overall as we go on through the latter part of this month and on into July.
And maybe a 10 or 15-second answer to this question. Is that heat part of a normal summer high-pressure ridge?
It's not all that unusual, but this particular ridge is rather potent. It's kind of fast-moving as well. It's not a blocking ridge that's going to sit around for a long period of time. So the answer to your question is kind of yes and no. We will see a significant period of warm-up. That's not unusual for this time of the year. It may be a little bit warmer than it should be, but it only lasts for about 2, maybe 3 days, and then it's out of here, and we get it back to a little bit more seasonably warm conditions.
Drew, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.